Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. A pair of bills getting a lot of attention this legislative session will go under the microscope today at committee hearings. Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis says lawmakers will be scrutinizing legislation, abolishing straight ticket voting, and restricting payday lenders.
Moderate Party founder Ken Block is leading an effort to do away with straight-ticket voting, a practice also known as using the master lever. Block says the master lever sows confusion and gives an advantage to the ruling Democrats in the General Assembly. The Senate Judiciary Committee will discuss straight-ticket voting while reviewing a series of bills related to elections. Meanwhile, the Senate Corporations Committee will hear testimony on a bill that would prohibit payday lending in Rhode Island. A coalition has tried for years to cut the annual interest rate of up to 260% charged by payday lenders. The country's largest payday lender, Advance America, says a Pollitt commission shows Rhode Islanders prefer having the option of using payday loans. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
In Cranston, Mayor Alan Fung has submitted a new budget proposal with no tax increases. Fung says Cranston has stabilized city finances with help from public safety concessions and careful spending. He points to the growth of businesses like the Alex and Ani Jewelry Company as proof that Cranston is now seeing an economic expansion. Fung's budget calls for a small increase in funding for public schools and no new property taxes. The city council will now review the budget and may suggest some changes. A housing facility for disabled veterans will be dedicated this afternoon to a fallen Rhode Island Marine. Rhode Island Public Radio's Catherine Welch has that story.
7 years ago today, Marine Sergeant Brian St. Germain was riding in a truck across Iraq when it rolled over in a flash flood. The Rhode Island chapter of Operation Stand Down is honoring St. Germain's life and service by putting his name on its West Warwick facility for homeless and disabled veterans. Operation Stand Down's Tony DeQuattro says this is part of a push that started 2 years ago to rename all of their facilities after fallen troops.
The nice part about it is these homes are helping their brothers and sisters who've come home and have had hard times, who are homeless or about to become homeless.
DeQuattro says there are an estimated 3,000 homeless veterans in Rhode Island. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Leaders of the recreational fishing industry are meeting with state officials today in Warwick. Vice President of the Saltwater Anglers Foundation, Rich Hittinger, says they're trying to show how recreational fishing contributes to the state's bottom line. Hittinger says recreational fishing attracts people from outside the state.
More than half of the recreational fishers here in Rhode Island come from out of state. So we get a lot of people from Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts coming here to spend money on recreational fishing.
Hittinger says recreational fishing is directly responsible for around 1,000 jobs. He says he hopes the symposium will find specific ways to expand recreational fishing in the Ocean State. How many hospital beds does Rhode Island really need? That's one question being considered in a new report from a state health care planning council, and it comes at a time when a number of hospitals in the state are either up for sale, looking at new partnerships, or struggling financially. Rhode Island Public Radio's healthcare reporter Kristen Gourlay joins us in the studio to talk about the health of the state's hospitals. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
So, Kristen, how many hospital beds does the state have compared to what we think we'll need?
Well, Rhode Island most likely has an excess of about 200 hospital beds. That's according to a new report from the Healthcare Planning and Accountability Advisory Group. And 200 hospital beds, well, to give you a sense of how big that is, that's about the size of a whole hospital. But keep in mind, that's just one projection. There's a range. You know, one scenario shows we might need a few more hospital beds. But most scenarios in this report show that we probably have a surplus.
And now, before we go any further, Kristen, what is the Healthcare Planning and Accountability Advisory Group, and why have they conducted this study?
Well, the General Assembly formed this council last year and charged it with doing kind of an inventory of the state's hospital services. What do we have? What do we actually need? They also looked at primary care in Rhode Island and how that kind of preventative care might affect how much people actually need to go to the hospital. The idea was to begin to do some big picture thinking about the state's healthcare system in a way that really hasn't been done for many years. And to make sure the state's making decisions about, let's say, hospital acquisitions and mergers with that bigger picture in mind and not just based on what one community wants.
And so what did the study find? What is the demand versus supply for hospitals and hospital services here in Rhode Island?
So the big message is that overall, across all hospitals, the rate of something called inpatient utilization is falling. That means people just aren't staying in the hospital overnight as often or as long as they used to. And that affects the hospital's bottom line because it costs money to keep unoccupied beds available. And that in turn affects the cost of healthcare.
And Kristen, why has demand fallen for these hospital services? Are Rhode Islanders going elsewhere to get the care they're looking for?
That's actually one of the more interesting findings, Elizabeth. They discovered that Rhode Island is importing more patients than we're exporting. So the demand for inpatient services has fallen for some other reasons. One is that you don't need to go to a hospital and spend a week there for simple procedures anymore. There's outpatient surgery, you know, walk-in clinics, doctor's offices. Another is demographics. The state's population shrank, meaning there are fewer residents actually needing hospital care. Now, the population is getting older and might require more hospital services. Also, we might see demand for some kinds of inpatient services drop while others actually go up.
So there are fewer people, at least right now, needing hospital beds and a growing number of services that can be done outside of hospitals. And if the state gets better at providing preventative care and primary care, the more the number of people needing a hospital stay will probably go down, right?
Right. So the report actually quantified that. It looked at how much the demand for hospital services might go down the more primary care we have. And the estimates range from, say, like a 6% to a 44% drop, depending on how comprehensive and integrated that primary care is. Rhode Island actually is, in fact, making some progress on that front. We actually have a pretty good ratio right now of primary care doctors to patients. It's better than we thought.
And so, Kristen, what happens now? Are hospitals or is a hospital going to close because of this study?
Well, that will depend on the General Assembly. They'll receive the final report and it'll be up to state lawmakers to decide what to do with it. They could decide to take another look at the Hospital Conversions Act, which governs the buying and selling of hospitals in the state. And, you know, there are a number of those processes underway, say, with Westerly Hospital and Landmark right now. That's not to say that, you know, hospitals are going to go away overnight. We will probably always need hospitals for the kinds of complex and intensive care, you know, you just might need at some point in your life. But what kinds of services you get at the hospital or how many services are available where you live could be changing. Regardless of what happens with that report, the move toward more integrated primary care in Rhode Island is well underway. And as more pieces of the Affordable Care Act take effect, the push to make primary care kind of the centerpiece of healthcare here will be even stronger. And we don't know what that will mean for hospitals.
It seems complicated because, you know, how do you predict, you know, what people are going to need as
exactly.
The population ages? And, you know, do you take away hospital beds because there's a shortage now? Or do
right.
you leave the surplus because they may be needed in the future?
Right, exactly. And that's kind of what this report was trying to do, in a sense, is find ways to model some projections, to sort of look at different scenarios based on different assumptions and try to figure that out. But it's really it's still very uncertain.
I mean, you do see, like with Landmark and Westerly, you see the financial strains that some hospitals mm-hmm. are feeling as their patient community shrinks.
Yeah, exactly. It would be really painful for these communities, for example, for Landmark Medical Center to close because so many people depend on it for jobs and it has a big impact on the economy there. That said, do we make decisions as a state about hospitals based on what one individual community needs or based on, you know, what the overall healthcare needs of the state are? It's a really interesting question.
But Kristen, is there a way that we could perhaps save some of the jobs you're talking about and the convenience of hospitals
hospitals like Westerly Hospital, Landmark Hospital in Woonsocket, if hospitals considered, you know, changing their business model so that they're not so focused on inpatient care anymore?
Right. Well, actually, they are doing that more and more. And I spoke with Ed Quinlan, who's with the Rhode Island Hospital Association, and he told me that inpatient services are only about half a hospital's bottom line. So that means outpatient services are the other part. If you just look at hospital beds and how those are doing economically for a hospital, you kind of miss the bigger picture of what's going on. Hospitals these days have more and more reach in the community with, you know, outpatient clinics and things. And I think we're going to see even more of that as hospitals try to kind of reinvent themselves and stay afloat.
Well, thanks, Kristen. Kristen Gourlay covers healthcare for Rhode Island Public Radio. You can find her stories and all of our news at ripr.org.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.